The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and I appreciate you welcoming me. And I have to say that your pastor and his wife, along with another Slidell minister, Bob Riles, really have been called in Slidell to lead this group of ministers. And I tell you, I can't think of a more nicer guy. And I know that he said some nice things about me, but I have to return it back. And it really was easy to be able to be your friend as well when I first met you. And Miss Pat, thank you. God bless you. Greetings to you from West Slidell today, if you will. We're all a part of what God's doing here in this city, and thank you for your welcome and your worship. I've got my parents with me today, and Debbie, a good friend of mine who's helps me with hospice and is just an amazing lady. And we are here today as guests, but yet we're one in God's kingdom. And well, I've got a lot of things to say, and I won't keep you too long, except if God says keep you. So I'm broadcasting to you not only live here, but I know that we're going to be on live stream. And I truly believe that that is not by accident. And I also want to say that, you know, it's amazing how we as America, the city on a shining hill, are still that. And that he is using ministers throughout this great land to touch this world by computer. Who would have ever thought that we'd be standing in churches these days, or where have you in this great country, and able to broadcast all over the world? And for people to pick us up in little pockets like they do. No telling where we're going to be hitting today. But I really believe that God is going to target what we're doing and what he has me to say today to a particular group. And so I'm going to pull out my electronic piece here. And we used to use the pencil and paper and such, but now we have all these gadgets and it's nice to have these. But yet what's most important is that his holy presence here be with us today. Can we bow our heads before we start? I'm going to speak a little bit about this thing called Taste and See. And it's about the kingdom of God is basically what I'll be speaking about today. Let's bow our heads here. Dear God, we give you praise today, and we thank you, dear God, for this body, and dear God, for this group of people that are the church, the called out ones of this world, dear God, to proclaim your life, your peace that is within them, Lord, in order, dear God, that this thing called the kingdom of God be brought into this community. And not only here where we are, but, dear God, throughout the world. And we thank you for the ability, dear God, to broadcast this thing called the precious gospel, the good news, the thing that allows us to be able to have a relationship with God. Not bad news, good news. And we thank you that, dear God, that you've put it within our tongues, you've put it within our lives, within the ability, dear God, to communicate it to others about that we can have relationship with God and that we can stand in right relationship with God and proclaim it to others that might not know you. And we give you praise. We give you glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, folks. I've got some scriptures here, and I don't know how I'm going to get through all this. It's quite a bit of scripture, and I'm just going to go as the Lord leads. Is that what's the most important thing anyway? Is that we do it his way? And I thank you that we're not here to impress. I'm not here to be a preacher to you as much as I'm here to be a lover of people to you. Jesus was a lover of people, and he came and he did basically four things, and those were what? He came to preach the gospel, to tell people about the good news that you have a heavenly home if you're willing to confess these things that we are that drug us back, and that's sin, if we're willing to confess our sin. He came to deliver people from demonic oppression and possession. It is so big these days. We used to think, well, those demons don't affect me. Well, maybe that's the way it was here in America about 50 years ago. But with all the open gates and doors that have happened, we have a lot more of what we call this demonic activity affecting us. Jesus came to deliver people. He came, thirdly, to heal people in their physical bodies. You know, there's nothing like being healed because it happens to you. It happens to us in our physical bodies, in our mind, body, and spirit. And then fourthly, he came to do miracles, things that are called signs and wonders, things that he wants us to operate in. He wants us to take these gifts that he's given to us and operate with those gifts out in the community, wherever we may be, in order that we might act as Christ did, supernatural, doing things that say, hey, this brings glory to God, and that's what it's all about. You know, that's what this life is about. And it's about tasting and seeing, and I'm going to get on this in just a minute. But how many of you know that you have to act in faith? The Bible said God has given to each of us a measure of faith. And with that faith, it's the thing that he gives us to believe about him. But you got to taste and see first. And you know, you don't see until you first taste. How many of you know that back in the scriptures, Eve had to take that fruit and taste that fruit, and then she saw. She saw. She had to taste. Now, I'm not talking about sinning today. We're going to turn that whole thing around, and we're going to say, taste and see what God can do. How many of you know that it takes that little bit of mustard seed of faith that God granted every single human being to believe that they can use that to believe in him? And that there's a line. I see a line drawn right here. I remember the day when Jesus came into my heart at 9 years old. Mom and I sat down one Friday night, turned the TV off, and I said, "Look, Mom, God's been on me this past week. He's been calling me. I don't know what to do with this. I know it's him. And I've watched you and Dad and how you have conducted your life. You've got this experience inside of you called being born again, and I need to know what that's about. I want a heavenly home one day." And I was a young guy, but I saw it. And you know, that's the most amazing thing, is that when Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you won't get it. And that's just the way it is. We don't get it. Mom and I turned the TV down. I said, "God, I need to know you, just like they do. I need to have this experience." And I did. And I realized that a line was drawn at that particular time in my life, and that I had stepped over. I had to taste. I had to step over that line that was in front of me and taste and see how good God really was. And I did at a young age. And then I got filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues not much later. That was amazing. I felt an incredible love come upon me. We talk about love? Wow. When the Holy Spirit zaps you, because we all need a zapping, and he fills you with his Spirit in such a way that you know, hey, this ain't me. I can't love people like this. I can't love lost humanity like this unless he is in me to do it. Because in my natural capability, there's just no way to do this. And he filled me with his Spirit. How many of you have had that experience that you've been filled with the Spirit, where you know that he's touched your life, he's touched your mind and your body in such a way that you got to keep going for him, and that there's really nothing back behind that line? Once you've crossed this line, ooh, you've tasted, and now you see, but there's no going back, because what's back there is nothing. He took you out of that and placed you into something that's so amazing, and that's the newness of life. So here we are. If you've got your scripture, or actually are able to view this behind me, we're going to taste and see. We're looking at John chapter 3, 1 through 21, if we can get through it, folks. Jesus had a man named Nicodemus to approach him. You know what's the most amazing is that we're going to read John 3:16 somewhere down in the in the scriptures here. But you know what's amazing is that this portion of scripture about being born again is linked up with the most popular New Testament scripture ever. And I think that God wanted it to be done that way. Because this experience about being born again is, of course, the most important aspect of our lives in knowing Christ. Verse 1 here says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" And how many of you know that before this particular scripture, Jesus was out doing his thing? One of those four things. He was either preaching the kingdom, he was laying hands on sick people, he was causing miracles to take place. And the religious people of the day noted it. The people that were so against this thing called being born again, they were so against people arising to take their spiritual stand because they wanted to keep people down. They wanted to suppress the common man. They were called the religious people of the day. And Jesus had harsh words for these guys. And if you read in Matthew 23, he literally dogs these people out because of what they stood for. The scriptures say that they were basically a people that had a form of godliness, but they truly denied the power. They denied Jesus Christ's power. And Jesus came that we might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. And these people were saying no. And Jesus said, "Okay, Nicodemus, I know you're a part of the group of religious guys, and I'll answer your questions." So we go on to verse 3 here. "Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" You know, it is truly a commandment, and I put it in red, born again, that we have to be born again to be able to really have relationship with God. How many of you didn't realize who you were and why you were here on this earth until you really came to God and you turned the government, the actual control of your life over to Him? How many of you didn't really know who you were? You really don't know who you are until you link up with your Creator who knows you better than you know yourself. And then when that happens, it's like, oh, I've tasted, and now I see. Now I get it. I understand. He created me to do more than just exist. He created me to know Him and to have a life. So Jesus says, "Truly, unless you be born again, you can't even see this thing called the kingdom. You can't even see it. We're blind. We're blind. I don't want to be a blind person, folks. If I physically didn't have eyes to see, I still wouldn't want to be blind. The greatest sight that we can have is to know that we've been born again and that change has taken place in our life." Okay, let's look at verse 4. "Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly,'" here we go with those truly, trulies that Jesus loved to speak about, "'I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.'" First of all, we have to be born of water. We have to have come from our mother's womb. We've had to have that water bag broken in order that we come. And that's what Jesus meant when he said that. And secondly, along the spirit realm, if you see there in the word verse 5, the word Spirit, it's in red because he's talking about the Holy Spirit. First, we have to be born physically into this world, and then the Holy Spirit has to come at some point and say, "Hey, I'm tapping on your shoulder. I've come to visit with you today," whether it be at your home on a Friday night when you're watching TV and you feel the Spirit tapping you on the shoulder, or you may be in a situation where you're gathered in a group of people, or you may be on your job and someone calls you to pray and says, "Hey, we need to pray, guys. We need to come together and we need to give God the glory and see what He does with this day. Thank you, Brother Evans, about what you said. That was precious, my brother. It's all about him. It's all about bringing and corralling God's holy presence wherever you go and watching God show up. And when he does, it's an amazing thing. He sets things in order and he gets things done. Amen? All right. Jesus said you must be born of water and then of the Spirit. Other than that, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, there it is again, the Holy Spirit, is spirit. Verse 7, he gives another command here. Jesus says, do not marvel or be amazed that I said to you that you must be born again. Man, when Jesus gives commands, and as he does that throughout the scriptures, folks, that's something that we have to really take to heart. He wanted to clear the minds of everybody. He wanted to make sure when he came to earth that there was no question. There's a scripture that says what? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Wow, in these days, do we see all types of paths that supposedly point to God that actually are not going that way? We have many means and methods. We've got many people out there preaching things in America that they never used to say, but that are saying, this is the way. This is the way. When all along Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. How could somebody be so bold as to say that? Especially back in a day when people were ruled by the religious order of the day. But he came in as an amazing truth giver and spoke life wherever he did, and he demonstrated it. You know, it's an amazing thing to be the people of God. How many of you can identify with what I'm about to say? I think you can. There's nothing greater than being able to be out in a lost and dying world and to be able to lay your hands upon somebody and pray for them. They may be in their last hours of their life. In fact, today at 2:30 in the morning, I was up in Bogalusa. Someone lost their life this morning, and I was up there. I was with the family. And you know, some folks, no kidding, this might seem a little funny, but during the time of stress that the body takes when someone's getting ready to pass, it shows on the body, and it shows on facial expression. But today when I arrived at 3 a.m. to see this lady that had passed, she looked better physically than she ever did, than I knew her. And it was because she was no longer in pain, and that pain was over, and that she wasn't with us anymore. And yeah, there were mourners in that house this morning, but you know what? She's not with us anymore. She's with the Father. And it's amazing to see how even after these months of this lady, precious lady, being on hospice, she is no longer in that pain and looks absolutely in relief. It's amazing how you can look on the face of someone who's no longer here and that you can see truly, truly, the life is in the blood and our life is in the Spirit. Because once that Spirit leaves that body, all it is just a body. And it is so amazing to see a lifeless body. I know that sounds a little funny, but once you know that that person was hurting and sick and dying and is no longer in that encasement any longer, but they're with God, it's a time to rejoice. I've been with folks that have said to me, listen, when it's time to go, don't call me back. Don't call me back. And they were serious. I honored their wishes. I got to honor God's wishes first and foremost and say, okay, that's what they want, but what do you want? So we usually say, God, what is it that you'd have us do? And most folks want to go home. Now, there are some that don't. Some that want to stay. Some that might be a little bit younger. That might not be in their 70s, 80s, 90s, 100s. That might be in their 50s or 60s and because of substance abuse have racked their body. And they no longer find light and delight in their life anymore, and they're hurting. But they're angry because they've done something to their body that they now wish that they would not have participated in. and it's usually some form of substance abuse, and now they're ready to go, but then they're angry. And those are the ones we got to pull aside and say, hey, come here. Jesus has shown up today. You might not be able to get out of that bed. You might not be able to go to the church house anymore, but Jesus has shown up. And folks, that's why we're out here. It's not a hospice chaplain's job. It's all our jobs to get out there into those folks that are lost and dying and say, hey, you might not be able to get up out of this bed or leave this house or leave this community, but Christ has shown up today. We are His ambassadors. And folks, it's getting close. It's getting close. I don't know if you've seen this. I saw this just the other day. Just yesterday in Sweden. Right here in Sweden. They're cutting open a little section of your hand right here, and they're inserting a little device. And they're closing that little area up. And you can go and you can scan your hand across doors and doors open. Or you can scan your hand at the bank and money can come out. I'm waiting for the insertion over the forehead. Because the scripture is so plain about the end times and how there's going to be marks on our foreheads and in our hands here. It's already starting. And you can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it on the internet. And it's taking place over there in Europe, but it's headed all over. And the scripture is very clear about taking that mark on. It's here. But greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. We got to believe His words. We got to believe His scripture more now than ever. More now than ever. I guess I was sent here to warn folks today. That's all a part of it. Verse 8, if you will, here. It says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Listen, folks, the Holy Spirit's going to go where it wishes. And truly, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He represents a gentleman, and He goes, and there are many places that He is not welcome. But I'll tell you this, there are many broken-hearted people where the Spirit is showing up. There are many desperate people that don't know the truth but that are broken and that the Spirit is showing up. There are many desperate situations in America and in different places in the world where Jesus is not welcome, but yet, you know what? The Holy Spirit is showing up. And in even many places, He's showing up in the form of Christ, appearing to people just as Christ did back in the day after He was put to the cross and He appeared in different places. Those kind of things are happening these days. And people are crying and saying, what is the truth? Where does this thing start? And Christ is appearing. I am so glad to be able to say that He is so amazingly supernatural. Folks, we're getting ready to see some things take place. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I do know this about humanity. And I do know this about Americans. We're prosperous. We do great things for this nation. But we're a bit prideful. I'd rather be a Christian than an American. Because listen, a Christian comes first. And thank God for America. But we need to line up as Americans. And we need to be willing to say, God, whatever it be, to shake our tree. And to put You first, so be it. If it takes a 9/11, if it takes a Katrina, so be it. To shake our tree, to wake us up, to say, God, it ain't about what we have. It's about You. And it's about You coming and shaking our lives and shaking us up in order that we understand what this thing about the kingdom is all about. And when that happens, we're going to be all the more ready, folks. We might think we're ready. When 9/11 happens, how many of you know? We may not have been so ready in the church here in America. We kind of just said, oh, no, look, bang, the buildings are coming down. I remember where I was. How many of you remember where it was when those towers came down? I was in North Carolina giving blood, watching it on a screen going, wow. And then all of a sudden, here comes this plane and hits that second tower, and I'm like, oh, man, where were we? What were we doing? Did we have the time and the proper place? Were we interceding? Were we ready for all those people that had questions? Well, it's going to happen again. And folks, we know it. Again, I'm not a prophet of doom, but just be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready to say yes to God when He says, okay, I need you to go minister here and there when this takes place, because it's going to happen, folks. And be ready. And realize it is a time to shine when that happens. It is a time to be the salt that you are and the light that you are when tragedy happens. Now, sometimes it happens on a personal realm. A lot of that's going on right now in our personal lives, but yet, when it hits nationally, be ready. When it hits locally, be ready. I was looking on YouTube the other day. I made friends with a man on Facebook. Don't even know this fella. He's down there preaching on Bourbon Street. He calls me up, and he goes, you're my friend. Can you help me out? I'm like, brother, I don't know who you are, but I see you on Facebook, and you're down there, and you're preaching. What do you need? He goes, well, I'm at the dentist, and I need some money to pay my dentist bill. And I said, okay. And the Holy Spirit said, help him right now. He's one of my ministers. He's down there preaching the gospel. Help this young man. Get ready, folks. Get ready to move out in ways that you may have never done before as the Spirit taps on your shoulder and says, get ready. It's a time to be the body of Christ. It's a time to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, to put on that armor that's talked about in Romans and in the other scriptures in Ephesians. It's time for us to be the body of Christ. Look, if you will, I'm going to continue here. Paul states in Colossians 15, chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. It says, of speaking about Christ, he said, He is the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body, the church. Continuing on, He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, and in big, bold red letters, making peace by the blood of His cross. Folks, when God said that Jesus has all authority, that's it. That means that Jesus was given all authority in heaven and in earth and throughout the universe in order for us to be the church, the called out ones. When Nicodemus asked Jesus a question, I don't know if Nicodemus was ready for that answer. But here came Christ with the ability to say, hey, this is what it's about. This is who I am, really. You don't see it at the moment, Nicodemus. You don't see what's taking place, but this is what it's about. And it's about a kingdom that's not of this earth. It's another kingdom called the kingdom of God. How many of you know that scripture? For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. It's not money. Thank God the scriptures are clear about what money is. Money's what? The love of it is the root of all sorts of evil. I'm so glad God didn't put that in there and said the kingdom of God exists of money. But it exists first of righteousness, being able to have right standing with God. And it's almost like a thing that is in order. Because if you're in right standing with God, then you have this thing called peace. And you know what, folks? Most folks don't have peace. They might think they do, but peace is when you're going through something and you're like, I don't even know how I got here. But there's this overwhelming understanding that God has it. And He's granted it to me. And I've got peace in this storm. And then lastly, joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. in the Holy Spirit. There's that word again, Spirit. We can't do it without His Spirit. He's called us to live this life in His kingdom, the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. He's the one who has brought the kingdom to earth. Let's look at this verse here at verse 9. So Nicodemus says, he said to him, to Jesus, how can these things be? Jesus answered, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Are you so that you're supposed to be one of these guys that teaches us, but you don't understand these things? I love how Jesus comes back. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. You know, I drove down the street today, and I'm coming, first of all, from off of Gauze, up onto Robert Boulevard, and I look over by the restaurant, and I see it full, packed of cars. Folks want to get that stomach full, folks. Oh, it's nice to have a full tummy. And then I keep coming down the street a little bit, and I look to the right, and I see another building there full of cars. And you know what? What's truly amazing is that we pull up into this parking lot. This is no dig on y'all at all, but whatsoever. It's amazing to see how when folks really know something's going on in God, you don't see that many people. But when tragedy happens, you're going to see a lot of cars. But in the meanwhile, God's working on His people. And you know, this thing called a remnant, an existence of God's people in the earth. Ever since He said that there's going to be a remnant, there's a remnant. My question is are you in that remnant? Have you sold out to Christ today? Because if you have sold out to Christ, if you're born again, then you are in that remnant. And if you're willing to be broken and continually stay in that state, then you're in that remnant. If you're willing to be surrendered to God, because folks, you know what? The truth is we never stop surrendering. We never stop. The Bible says that on that day every knee shall bow and every tongue's going to confess. Does that mean the Muslim's going to confess? It means the Muslim's going to confess. Does that mean the Buddhist is going to confess? That means the Buddhist or the person from India or the person with all the pride here in America is going to bow their knee and say, you're Lord. Why not, before we're made to do it, humbly surrender and do it? Why not walk away from the ways of our past? When that line of the Holy Spirit's drawn in front of you, why not say yes to the Lord? Why not say yes to His kingdom? Why not stand up and say, I'm going to be in that remnant that God is calling? Folks, there's a lot of devils out there that want to keep us from following God. There's a lot of devils that want to overcome us and that are on assignment to say, let's mess up this thing called the Church of Jesus Christ. But you know, as I read earlier, greater is He that is within us, in you, in that remnant that has said yes to Jesus Christ. This is not religion. When I go visit folks as a chaplain, one of the first things I tell them is, your days of religion are over. And they look at me like, aren't you the chaplain? I'm like, yes, I am. My days of religion are over. I'm no longer a Pharisee. I'm no longer holding the truth back. I've come to bear and bring the truth. And that is that all the commandments fall onto these two things that God said, that you're to love God first and then to love your neighbor. And that's what we're out to do, folks. There's nothing greater than being able to step into a situation and say, you know what? It might seem like chaos. It might seem like turmoil. But God has shown up. The Holy Spirit has shown up. And He's come to change the atmosphere of what you see. He may step into your life and show you something. Oh, I need to go up in there. I need to be a part of this. I need to bring this treasure and this earthen vessel called the Holy Spirit. And I need to take this into that situation. I need to go out and I see that person walking down the street. Or I need to go into this situation and ask that person, hey, can I lay hands on you? when that faith starts calling, you know, he's granted us each that measure of faith, but he's also done this thing for us called the gift of faith. It's when something just springs up within you and you're like, that's the Holy Spirit dealing with me about this particular situation, and I've got to touch that person, or I've got to enlighten this person. And when that happens, be ready. Be ready, because that's how the Lord deals with us. That's how he speaks to us. Isn't it amazing how he does that? Folks, I'm here to just proclaim life and liberty with you today. Let's look at verse 12 here. Jesus speaking, he says, in blue lettering, because he was trying to teach in these blue letters that I got up here, practicality. He wasn't teaching in the blue letters heavenly things. He was trying to reach Nicodemus on an earthly level. He couldn't even speak things of the kingdom to Nicodemus because he couldn't understand it. He had to use agriculture. He had to use seeds. He had to use the order of the practical day to be able to communicate with people. Isn't it amazing how the Son of God came from heaven to earth, couldn't speak about the things of the kingdom as much. He had to use parables. He had to use stories that man could relate to in order to relate the most amazing things that were going on up in heaven and that were getting ready to happen on earth. Jesus says here, if I told you earthly things, you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Folks, let's all just say this together. John 3:16. Let's read it out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. I'll keep reading by myself here. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Boy, I'm so glad he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Amen. Let's go to the next slide if we can. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Isn't it amazing how when we were born into the world here, how our parents don't have to teach us to be bad, that we came out of our mother's womb ready to be mischievous, ready to, hey, it's about me, it's about my selfish life. And do you know that that means that we stand condemned because without a born-again experience, without knowing who he is, we stand condemned. And it takes a life-giving Holy Spirit to break into our world and say, hey, I'm here. I found you. You may have been looking for me, but I have shown up today. I have shown up in your life. Because I love you, and I'm here that you might have this life for me to give to you and to have it more abundantly. Verse 19, and this is the judgment. This is why we stand already condemned if we don't know him as our Savior. The light has come into the world. Folks, we can't get any more plainer than what's in the blue. And people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works be exposed. Nobody wants their darkness exposed. Even when we come to Christ, we mess up and we don't confess to him like it says in 1 John 1:9. And that, by the way, was the scripture that's kept me all these years. Mom introduced that scripture to me. She said, 1 John 1:9 will carry you the rest of your life. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That not only means at that moment of when you said yes to Him, but it means that way from now forever, because He knows that we're going to mess up. God knows that we need to come to Him and be willing to confess and say, "Hey, Father, guess what I've done? I've broken that communion with You, but I need to be restored with You. I need to know that those loving arms are there." And you know what they are? If there's anybody that does any of this leaving in this relationship with God, it's us. It's not Him. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there. And He shows us in the most amazing ways through small examples. And He keeps throwing hints out because He loves us. And He keeps saying, hey, you remember me? You have relationship with me. You're not condemned. But don't let this thing called sin or unforgiveness separate me from you. Don't go on doing these things that are going to cause you to be in shame. I've called you to not to walk in shame. I've called you to walk in the light. And folks, I'm not speaking condemnation. I'm just talking about what the remnant has to hear today. There's some preaching going on today that says you don't have to repent. There's some things that are being said in the American church and abroad that says this thing about grace, you're forgiven and you don't have to confess when you've done something wrong. Let me tell you something. When a little child comes to me and says, "I saw what you did, you're wrong," and that happens, these little ones, if there's anybody that keeps you in check, it's somebody small. It's a young one. They know. When we go on these hospice calls, and like was the case last night, little 5-year-old boy running around named Elisha. What a name, huh? He was there just his name to remind me, you better stay on your P's and Q's. There's a little prophet running around here, 5 years old. Didn't even know what death was. Don't understand it. Didn't get it. But yet he's there smiling, and he knows grandma's not there no more. Excuse me, great-grandma's not there no more. Unless we become like a little child. Can't even go there. Can't even understand. Pride has to be removed. Oh, Lord, it's one of the biggest things that God hates in the Scripture, pride. And I'm saying, God, every day, break me. If I got to cry throughout the day, if I have to weep throughout the day, then so be it. I can't let pride rise up. I can't let these things separate me from You. Because, folks, the remnant understands this, that there are things that can block our relationship with God. But yet, thank God for that Holy Spirit reminder, that tapping on the shoulder, that one that visits us when we say, "Okay, Lord, I've come to spend some time with You." And He says, "Yeah, well, you know what happened last week? When you haven't forgiven so-and-so," it's like, "Oh, yeah. Well, it's time to forgive so-and-so." By the way, can I say this too? You know, sometimes I'll visit some folks, and there's one thing left that they got to do before they go be with the Father, and that is forgive. I believe that there are some folks that have said, "I am not going to forgive. I know that I know Christ." And you know, you stand at a pretty risky place when we do this. But there's a lot of folks that are on hospice because their internal organs are messed up. And the reason that's the case, it may not be a drug situation, it may not be a substance situation, it may be an unforgiveness problem. And that someone has been tortured inside, and their physical body has taken a toll because of that. I've sat with folks that have said, "I'm not forgiving that person." And I'm like, "You gotta do it. God sent me here to tell you, come on. It's not worth it. It's not worth crossing over into that next realm with unforgiveness in our heart. We got to be willing to forgive. We got to be willing to say, listen," right after the scriptures, the most important scripture, God talks about to forgive. He says forgive in some of the other scriptures that we say. The Lord's Prayer is where it is. Wouldn't you know, right after the Lord's Prayer, the very next thing in that portion of scripture says, "And if you don't forgive your brother, how am I going to forgive you? How am I going to forgive you?" We got to keep that as foremost in our mind, is that we're going to forgive. By the way, it's the most powerful of a weapon is to forgive. Satan says, "Don't forgive, don't forgive. You've done everything, but don't forgive. Don't let that be." And he's screaming at us saying, you have a right. You have a right. And God says, give it up. Forgive that person. And meanwhile, kick the devil in the face as you do it, because that's what's happening. Devil gets a kick in the face. Gets a kick in the underside because he thought he had you. And you said, no, I'm going to do what the Lord says to do. I'm going to forgive. Verse 21, But whoever does what is true comes to the light. Do you notice that it doesn't say, look at this. It does not say, but whoever does what is right comes to the light. It says, but whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we want to be right with God, we got to come to the truth. And the truth is that before I even know that there's a God, a thing called the kingdom of God, a thing called the Holy Spirit, a whole new realm of how we should look at life, I got to come to the truth first before I even see it. Before I can see, I've got to taste. And when I'm willing to use the faith that God has given me to taste, then I see how good He really is, how amazing He really was. When Jesus died and resurrected and was coming and appearing in different places, it says that Christ came to two men that were on the road to Emmaus. And what they did is, after these two men welcomed this stranger who was the Lord, who was resurrected, and had come to see what was going on and to how he was going to express himself. When he met with these guys, they turned into a place for the evening, and the Bible says that these two guys said to Jesus, here's the bread. And as they presented the bread and said, we're going to eat, it says that the Lord disappeared right in their sight. Jesus disappeared. And when he did so, the scriptures go on to say that the souls of these men burned within them because they knew that they had been with Christ. And it is an amazing thing that Christ came back in an earthly form after he was resurrected, because what he was doing was that he was saying, hey, y'all put me on this cross. I bled. I died. I've got the holes in the hands and in the side to prove that I did go to the cross, but I'm now back. And that when I leave, there's this comforter that's going to come. And he's going to appear in different ways and means. And he's going to carry on this thing called a wooing of spirits. He's going to carry on the ability for you to understand what this power is in order to live this life for Christ and do miraculous things. Christ said, greater things are you going to do, even more so than himself. Isn't it amazing how he came and he showed us what to do and how to do it? But then he promoted us and he said, even greater things shall you do. That's why we're here, folks. That's why we're here. We're here to shine. We're here to be as salt. We're here to be as light. And I'm here to encourage you today, not only here that are seated here today, but on the internet, wherever you may be in this world, that Christ has come, that God has granted him all authority. And you know what? I want to be linked up with the one that's been granted all authority, and that what matter comes, no matter what comes our way now or in the future, we've got a heavenly promise. We've got a heavenly home, and that's through Christ and through having eternal life in him. Nicodemus came and he said, what must I do? And Jesus said, truly, truly, this is what you must do. This is not what you might do. This is not what is suggested that you do. This is what you must do. This determines, if you will, truth from lies. This determines if you're going to live this life that I've carved out for you, or if you go and falter, just living the way that the natural world says to do it, for our own selfish gain. How many of you know that it takes something inside of you to live this life? That there's a drawing. The Bible says that out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. How can rivers of living water come out of a belly that has no spirit in it? How can we be His ambassadors unless that spirit be ruling and reigning inside of us? We can be. And I just want to thank you today for people here as well as that might hear me during live stream, that Christ is coming. He's knocking on the door. He's knocked on the door of many of your hearts. You've said yes. You're part of that remnant. And many people out there listening to me, you're part of that remnant. But there are many that aren't. Are you willing today? I've got a question. Are you willing today to say yes? I'm going to stand firm in what He's called me to stand firm in. I'm going to take that adventure that He's placed in front of me. And listen, we all have an adventure. We all have somewhere to go. We all have somewhere to be. But I'm willing to allow the Holy Spirit to carve out that individual thing that He's called me to do and do it with great vigilance. And to realize that nobody's going to, and no devil is going to say about me any lesser than what I really am. Listen, folks, if you've said yes to Christ, you're a force to be reckoned with. You're a force to get out and to make things happen. One more example. I remember I was in high school and I played high school football. Man, I really liked it. I really loved high school football. And I believed in being the offense. I tried defense. I tried to be the cornerback, you know, the guy that when the offense sends the guy out into the field and he catches the ball and you're the guy that's supposed to tackle him. Well, I didn't do too well at that. I said, I just don't like this. And I went to the coach and I said, Coach, throw me the ball. I'll catch it. Just throw me the ball. I'll make a touchdown. And sure enough, he let me do it. And I might not have run as fast, but I could catch that ball. So I caught the ball and made a touchdown. And the Holy Spirit even used that as an example. He said, son, you don't like the defense because that's not who you really are. You got to be on the offense. You have to be one of those ones that has to just take that ball and run with it. You are going to be one of those ones that won't be able to settle with being on what we call the defense. Now, I've called those to do that part. But he says, you got to take this gospel that I've given you and you've got to be an offensive case for me. And I've said, okay, Lord, I don't really know how to do it because I'm a bit timid. I don't really know how to do this, but set me in the place to do it. So he used football as one of his ways to convey to me. And there's some of you out there that have got to be on the offense. Not everybody's on the offense, but there's some of you that you're not going to stop until you see that ball cross that finish line. And so be it. So be it that we can stand up and say yes and say, Lord, I'm on the offensive team. Yes, you've called both offense and defense, but I've got to take that ball and I've got to run with it. And I've got to make this thing happen for you. You've set it in front of me. It's so obvious. It's so obvious what you want me to do. It's so obvious how you've called me and set me in this place. Can anybody identify with that? It's so obvious where He's brought you today. It's so obvious that He's called you and He said, you know what? You may have had a season in your life where you felt defeated, but now, because of Christ and because of the Holy Spirit, you can now experience a whole new way of living and a whole new existence. And it's all done by love. It's all done by love. All done by love. Unselfishness, a willingness to forgive as Jesus did, a willingness to say, I'm going to bow my knee, a willingness to say, okay, I see the kingdom. You want me operating in there, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. May that be our heart's cry today, y'all. May it be our heart's cry from now on. Let it be that we're going to surrender our need. We're going to surrender our voice. We're going to surrender our lives. We're going to surrender our whole being that the Holy Spirit envelops and say yes to the Christ, yes to God, yes to His Holy Spirit, yes to the call that He's placed in front of you. Gifted and talented. Wow, that's what He does to us. He shows us those gifts. He gives us talents. Don't want to stand before Him one day and say, I didn't use my talent for you. Oh. Want to stand before Him and say, yes, God, look, I did what you said to do. I've gone where you said to go. I showed up. A pastor friend of mine used to say this. He said, 80% of success is just showing up. 80% of success is just showing up. Being where you're supposed to be, God takes care of the rest. You just show up. Be where you're supposed to be. Do what He's called you to do. Paul, I tell you, it's an amazing thing to know the Lord today. Can we bow our heads? And I'm gonna close this up and ask Pastor Morris to come in a minute, but let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank You today. Lord, I thank You for every person, dear God, that is heard Your word, Lord, seated here as well as, Lord, on live stream throughout this world. Father, I pray that every heart, dear God, by the Holy Spirit now, that, dear God, as You're tapping the shoulders, dear Father, by the Holy Spirit, as You're tapping shoulders, we're going to bow our knee. And whatever that means, Father, because each of us know what it means to bow our knee, whether it be to substance abuse, whether it be to unforgiveness, and whether it be to say, God, I'm stepping over. I'm going to taste and see what Dave's talking about. I'm going to allow my heart to come and be with God's heart and do this thing called being born again. I'm going to ask You to be my Savior today. If you're out there and you want Christ to be your Savior today, if you want Him to come in and do a deliverance in you and that you'd want Him to be your Lord, I'm going to pray with you today. I'm going to ask, dear God, that Your Holy Spirit touch the hearts of people. And that, dear God, that the Holy Spirit cause, oh Holy Spirit, go. Go, Holy Spirit, into the hearts and lives and touch people. Touch their shoulders today. Touch each heart, dear God. May there be a brokenness, not only in our hearts of those that have said yes to You, but those that have said, I'm coming to You today. And Father, I pray that You, dear Holy Spirit, would show up in such a way, in such a gentle way, that it would cause hearts to say, I've never prayed before, but yet I sense that He wants me to pray. And I'm going to talk to Him with reverence, but yet as I would a friend. And I'm going to say, Lord, You're here with me. Break me. Bend my knee as I surrender to You. As I say, not my will, but Yours. Not my agenda anymore, but Yours. Take control of my life. I give You the government of my life. Holy Spirit, take it. Use it. Use this life that You created. I can't do this without You. I've come to the end of my road. I can't do this anymore. I can't live this crazy, chaotic life anymore. Please come. And Holy Spirit, I know that You will. I thank You that You love people, that You're here for the sake of people. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth in my life as it is already perfectly done in heaven. We invoke the power of the Holy Spirit into the lives of people everywhere in order that lives be changed. Father, thank You for the Holy Spirit who speaks to us and that we can have a part of our mind, a part of our spirit to cleanse our mind and to make us whole and to make us new. Your word says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, dear Lord, that we are now new creations in Christ. Behold, all things are passed away, and behold, new things have come. And I thank You that, dear God, that we are being made new creatures in You as Your Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulder. And we thank You. We acknowledge You today. We give You glory. We ask, dear God, that as the Holy Spirit's tapping and ministering, that, dear Father, that we would be willing to say, I confess all to You. And we do it today now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Oh, it's a blessing to be with you today. Thank you. Thank you. And Brother St. Angelo, thank you for having me and our little entourage here. God bless you, saints.
Thank you, brother. Good bless you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's all stand. Yes, ma'am.
Grocery store shopping, and I was there by the vegetable bin. I was picking up a few things, and then I was listening to a CD while I was going to the grocery store, and I was humming. They had some music, and I was humming some of those songs, you know. And I didn't realize it. Now, I wasn't humming real loud, but anyway. This lady was standing there by me, and I noticed she kept looking at me, and so I just didn't pay no attention. I went on to the next aisle. She followed me, and I looked. She was following me. Everywhere I turned in the store, she was following me. So finally, she came up before I got ready to check out. She said, could I ask you something? And I said, I may not have the answer, but I'll do my best. She said, you're the first person I've ever seen in the grocery store that's so happy. Could you mind telling me what you're so happy about? And I said, well, I was listening to a Christian CD in my car and some of the music, and it just ministered to me. So she said, oh. And I said, before I could say anything yes to her, man, she got away from me so fast. That was enough.
Isn't that amazing?
That brought that to me when you said that.
Great story, Liz. Thank you. Amen. Well, it's good to see each other here this morning. I appreciate those of you who are guests, first time you're here, that you had choices to make this morning. And you chose to be here. And I don't know about you, but I think you made a good choice. And I'm so glad you're here. Thank you, David. I told you you'd like him. I mean, what's not to like? I don't know.
Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, and...
appreciate y'all.